Welcome to the Words of Grace podcast. In these podcasts, we seek to clarify, amplify, and apply the Sunday morning sermons at Grace Community Church to our lives as followers of Jesus. From time to time, we're also going to address other topics as it's helpful for us as we consider how to live our faith out in our world. Our desire and our hope is that the Word of God would press into your everyday life. Good afternoon. Today is April the 15th, and I'm with Scott Patty for another Words of Grace podcast.
Good afternoon, Justin.
Good afternoon.
April 15th. You know what that is, don't you?
Yeah, it's tax day, because you had to remind me in the first take.
Tax day.
That's right.
I remind you? Like, really remind you? Or like,
no, you didn't remind me. You didn't remind me. Like I said, I did it, but I just forgot. After you do it, you're done.
You did it early. Okay.
It's not fun, and when you get it done, you're like, okay.
Good. Well, it's a beautiful day and a beautiful time to talk about Isaiah. But before we talk about Isaiah, so this podcast is going to go out on Tuesday, the 16th, tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But today you sent out an email to our congregation, and so why don't you fill us in on the transition that's happening in your life?
Yeah. So I have been asked by Providence to come on staff, Providence Baptist Church in Nolensville, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. To be one of their pastors and elders there. And so accepted the position last night. And so I will start on April the 29th, which is a Monday after April 28th. So Sunday, April 28th will be my last day.
Yeah.
It's a bittersweet.
It is. Yeah.
It's such a bittersweet. And because I love Grace, and Grace has been such a, just so instrumental in my growth as a pastor and my growth as a Christian. And so just been super thankful for it. So in so many ways, I'm going to Providence because of what Grace has done for me and how it has trained me up well to go serve another congregation in our city. And so that's what I'll be doing. I live in Nolensville, and so it's close. And, you know, we've got Grace families there that have, you know, been there. So, I'm excited to be there. So it's a transition.
Well, it is bittersweet for us. You've are a good friend and will remain that, obviously.
Right.
That's forever. But just your contribution here at Grace has been wonderful.
Yeah.
Encouraging to people. Lots of people feel connected at Grace and encouraged at Grace and built up at Grace because of your presence in their lives and your input and your service here. And so, you know, that's the bitter part.
Right.
We're going to miss you.
Yeah.
Of course, the sweet part, as you said, it's a wonderful congregation.
Yeah.
And their pastor's a friend of mine. And, you know, you've got some gifts that you're going to bring to that church and serve well. So we rejoice in their gain.
Yeah.
In the kingdom gain. But anyway, it's, the announcement is out. And we've got a couple weeks for people to share their gratitude. And then we'll be connected.
That's right. That's right. And I got one more podcast. This is not my last podcast.
Okay. Next Tuesday's the last podcast. Yeah. And then we'll surprise people with who's going to be
that's right.
Taking over with me.
I will say one quick story. The pastor of Providence, I didn't know this story. I knew some of it, but he told me that he was it's a long story, but he was thrust into being the pastor of that church through a lot of events. And he said the first call I had was to Scott Patty and was like, I don't know what I'm doing. And so he even to Providence was saying, man, I was mentored by Scott from afar and I had no idea what I was doing. And, it's neat to see how, you know, the kingdom, we all are together, working together. And it's just a beautiful picture.
Yeah. Well, like we keep saying here at Grace, we need healthy local congregations all over our city and all over our region.
That's right.
And so we'll just keep praying toward that end.
That's right. That's right. But moving on, we were in Isaiah 56, 57, and 58.
That's
on
right.
Sunday.
Three chapters.
I know. You kept saying more chapters, and I thought, well, how many chapters is he going to do?
Well, it was a big text, but I felt like it needed to be taken together.
Yeah.
And, you know, I guess you could say there could be a wrong way to do this. Like if you just miss it altogether,
right?
You know, miss the point and misinterpret. But sometimes you can preach a large text either by covering the whole text or by breaking it up into several different weeks.
Yeah.
And And both are legitimate ways to do expositional preaching, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. some people think you have to do every word, every verse.
Yeah.
But sometimes you can do larger sections.
Right.
And maybe not get as in depth with each verse or mm-hmm. you know, but you can still pull the meaning out, which is what, and the message, which is what expositional preaching is. It's finding the meaning and the message within a passage and right. pulling it out and putting it before us and then working it into our lives. So that's a good exposition. So I felt like it worked to do all three chapters around this idea of the worshiping life.
Yeah.
So we won't have time to go back through all of the elements of that mm-hmm. we pulled out of the text, but the general theme was the worshiping life that God wants for his people while we are waiting for Christ to return.
I loved this sermon for me because I felt like it was a good sermon to go home and evaluate my life as worship. You know, like I feel like I could take all seven and go, okay, this is helpful, even like a good gauge on my own heart, like where do I feel like I need to grow and the Lord needs to you know, grow me up in these areas. And so I thought it was really, really helpful.
Great.
And I know you mentioned that, you know, on Sunday, because you mentioned other passages like in James and in Ezra and Nehemiah, and you just kind of encouraged us as a church to really go home and read the text that we were in, but those other passages that will help us understand worship. And so the question I want us to kind of tackle this on this podcast is help us unpack for us.
Okay.
I don't want to say the difference, but understanding the act of worship versus the life as worship.
Okay.
And it's really interesting because this is a topic that I really love to unpack. And mainly because I remember I was a high school student and I was kind of a newer Christian. And I remember the conference we went to was all about worship as life. Oh, and I remember walking away very impacted, like, there is an act of worship, but there's also my life as worship.
Yeah.
And so if you could unpack that a little bit.
Okay. I would say the relationship between the two.
Okay.
Because they are connected.
Yeah.
They're never to be separated.
That's good.
Because
you definitely hear some that may focus on, it's all about life as worship and, you know, Sunday mornings, you know this, but you're talking about a connection, a relationship.
Absolutely. They feed on one another. They're supposed to be together. I mean, the Bible's very clear that there is an act of worship where God's people get together.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean together.
Yeah.
Like they actually go to the same place.
Yeah.
With a group of people who believe in Christ and they worship. And so in the Old Testament, you know, there was the tabernacle and there was the temple. And in the New Testament, there is the Lord's Day gathering. And we go to church. So that's the act. That's a, we could say, specific time and place gathering to do what we call worship. Mm-hmm. And that is in the Bible, and it's an act of obedience. All right? And then, along with that, not disconnected or separated, we live a worshiping life. Mm-hmm. All of life is worship to God. Honor is the word we would use. We honor God with our whole lives. Mm-hmm. Praise, thanksgiving, witness, glorify.
Yeah.
These are all words that go with worship that are really about our lives.
Right.
So they go together. One, the act of worship can be, we could say it's almost like a model for how to live. You know, so what do you do when you go to worship? You sing praise to the Lord, you confess sin, you make requests, you listen to the word, you respond in faith, you consecrate your life, you get up, you go. Mm-hmm. See, that's kind of a model for living, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so then in your life, that's you live a life of praise and thanksgiving to God, listening to his word, conforming your life to it, going into the world, living out obediently, giving witness. That's life.
Yeah.
And so that's the way they go. Yeah, the Bible says it this way too. For instance, if you're in say Deuteronomy, one of the famous lines of God's people in the Old Testament that they were to live by is Deuteronomy 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and all your soul, and all your might. Now, it's easily you could see that as I'm going to go to church today, or these people, they're going to go to, you know, the sacrifice or the tabernacle and later the temple. Mm-hmm. And they're going to bring their whole body to this act of worship.
Yeah.
But my goodness, how clear it is too.
Right.
That's a 24/7 life experience before God.
You're all your mind. Yeah. Everything. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, Paul said it, you know, we present ourselves, bodies, selves, whole selves to God as living sacrifices,
yeah.
which is an acceptable form of worship. Mm-hmm. So there's the same concept.
Right. Yeah.
So there, I would say, to answer your question, it's not a versus, they're together.
Good.
And it's to see how they feed on each other, mm-hmm. how one fuels the other, mm-hmm. how the other is representative of the one, mm-hmm. and just understand the relationship between them of the act of gathering with God's people for worship and then the lifestyle that flows. From Isaiah, you want to touch on where it came from in the
yeah.
text?
Well, yeah, so that's what I was going to say is like you've already touched on Deuteronomy, but even like talk about it, how we see that in this text, but maybe other places too you may want to bring up, but definitely this one.
Well, one of the clear places here in Isaiah is 58 when he's talking about, chapter 58, when he's talking about the true and false fast.
Yeah.
You know, so fasting is an act that we associate with Christian piety,
right.
or the practice of our faith. Mm-hmm. But you can disassociate that from real life, and you can assume that if I just fast from a meal or a day, I've done my religious practice. Mm-hmm. God, you know, God's now obligated somehow to bless me, and I don't have to think about the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And Isaiah says, oh, no. No, you certainly fast, you know, if that's a practice of a spiritual discipline. Mm-hmm. But don't forget that you don't disassociate your life. It's not about just doing away with food for a meal. Mm-hmm. It's about showing, making sacrifices to show compassion and mercy, to give mercy to people who are in dire straits,
right.
who are in difficult circumstances. And he mentions them, you know, people without homes and people without food.
Mm-hmm.
You know, can't we collectively, as churches and as Christians, show mercy as part of our worship unto God, our mm-hmm. spiritual service of worship? Of course. So it's,
right.
that's one of the things that one of the ways he's pulling it out in the text.
Yeah, good. And you definitely see, you know, you're talking about keeping your life from idols. I mean, that's very life oriented too.
Exactly. Yeah.
So it's you see it, prayer. You see that both in the act, and you also see it. It's another practice, spiritual uh-huh. discipline, but it's connected to life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let's take idols, for instance. That's a good example. That's on the negative side.
Yeah.
You know, so we would say, well, I don't have any idols in my life. Well, what do you mean? Well, I don't go to a pagan temple and mm-hmm. to the event. You know, I don't go to a place and throw coins in front of a statue of a god mm-hmm. and then, you know, hope for a blessed future. Well, okay. So you don't go to the event of idol worship.
Mm-hmm.
But what about your life? What about our lifestyles?
Yeah.
What about our thought processes? You know, what about the things we're trusting and depending on the most? You know, the life of self, the life of uninhibited self-expression at all costs is a life of idolatry.
Mm-hmm.
You're idolatry. You're making an idol of the self. And my goodness, can we not see in our culture the way that is a 24/7 lifestyle of idolatry?
Mm-hmm.
Of course we can.
Yeah.
So that's on the negative side.
Yeah.
So we don't need to, you know, we need to see mm-hmm. that these are connected.
Yeah.
I think another way this might help us is often you'll see Christians who almost assume they don't have to go. Pardon me. They don't have to go to the act of worship,
right?
Because they kind of throw out this language of, well, since all of life is worship, I don't really have to go anywhere.
Yeah, that's what I was saying earlier. Yeah,
yeah. No. You go to church. You don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together.
Yeah.
You know, the first day of the week, you gather with God's people.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you could have other people. You say, I go to church. I've done my job. The rest of the week's mine. I gave God his hour. The rest of the week's mine.
Yeah.
No, it didn't work that way either.
Yeah. Yeah, I like how you said, and you started off by saying this, but it's all connected and it all feeds into one another.
Yeah.
So the act feeds into the life that you're going to live out that mm-hmm. week, and the life that you live out that week comes back into the act.
Yeah.
And so it's just constantly feeding one another.
Yeah. Another thing from Isaiah mm. is when he talks about my house should be called a house of prayer for all who turn to the Lord. Mm. And he mentions foreigners there, and Jesus talks about that later. It's important for us to understand that both the act of worship, like when we go to church, is because of what Christ has done for us.
Mm-hmm.
He is who brings us into the house. He is the house.
Yeah.
He said, tear the temple down and raise it up. I'll tear the temple down, I'll raise it up in 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
He's the temple.
Right.
So when we come to the act of worship, we need to understand really in our minds, we might be physically gathered in this room, but we're actually here because of Jesus.
Yeah.
And then the same for our lives. Mm-hmm. We live our lives as followers of Jesus
mm-hmm.
all week, you know, 24/7.
Yeah.
So Jesus is the center
mm-hmm.
of our worship, both the act in a on a particular time of the a day and time, and the life living in union with Him.
Yeah.
He is our worship. He's our place and our time and our open door and our opportunity, and has secured our worship with God.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, that's good. And as we leave our time, here's one other thing to follow all this up, maybe to kind of close our time. What other passages would you say would be helpful to read around this topic? I mean, we've talked earlier about, before the podcast, Romans chapter 12.
Yeah.
You talked about James, which has a lot of that connection
uh-huh.
too.
Yeah.
But anything else that you would say
yeah.
would be helpful?
Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12 mm-hmm. is a wonderful passage. I'm looking for it right now. I'm going to flip my Bible. Can you whistle while I
whistle while you do this?
Get to Hebrews.
Like game show music or something?
There you go.
Yeah.
But in I love this passage in Hebrews chapter 12.
Hmm.
It actually starts in verse 18. And it's talking about the title in my Bible here that it puts above this is called The Kingdom That Cannot Be Shaken. Hmm. But as you go down there, it says, as Christians, you know, we don't come. He's saying we're not coming to the physical mountain like in the Old Testament. But then he says, we've come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God. Well, we talk about in Isaiah that Zion mm-hmm. in Isaiah and in the prophets is used of not just the city, but the city of God's presence, not just the physical city, but the city right. of God's presence, and to the city of the living God.
Mm-hmm.
You've come to the heavenly Jerusalem. You've come to where there are innumerable angels and festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus,
mm-hmm.
the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel.
Mm.
Okay, that's a great passage of worship.
Yeah.
The life of worship.
Mm-hmm.
We come to Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
who has mediated a relationship of worship with God on our behalf.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you come to Him, there is a time, place coming to Christ, and then there's a spiritual coming to Christ that we follow Him every day of the week.
Yeah.
And so I'd say read Hebrews 12.
Yeah.
It's another good one. But, yeah. you know, John 4,
yeah.
When Jesus is talking about worshiping in spirit and truth.
Mm-hmm.
These are all great passages.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, great sermon about worship. Would encourage, if you weren't able to listen to it, go through it. It's really, really helpful. Go over your notes and evaluate just kind of your own life and what that looks like for you and your family. And again, thank you for yeah. this. And we look forward to being back in Isaiah.
All right. Thanks. All right. Thank you.